There are two absolutely all caps huge networking mistakes that people make like each and every single day. I don't care if we're talking about LinkedIn or your social networks, or if you're talking about your more traditional networks. And here's the best part. It's not what you're thinking. It's going to completely hit you like a left hook when I tell you what these mistakes are. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about traditional networking as well as online networking, and you'll find that these two absolutely huge mistakes exist on either venue. So in traditional networking, there's a lot of people who feel that it's a huge mistake as opposed to mistake. And you notice how I don't bother to edit that out because, you know, your Uncle Paul doesn't give a shit. That's why. But anyway, seriously, there's a lot of people in traditional networking who feel it's a huge mistake to shake someone's hand and then launch into a sales pitch. I'm here to tell you that there's actually two way bigger mistakes than that. I'm also here to tell you that there's a lot of people who feel in traditional networking that it's a huge mistake when you meet someone and you're going on and on about yourself and your company and you never let them get a word in edgewise. I'm here to tell you that there's two way bigger mistakes than that. Getting over to the online type of networking that we like to call social networking, things like LinkedIn and the like, there's a lot of people who feel that if you send an invite without a note, that is a huge mistake. There's other people who feel that if you connect and go into a sales pitch, that is a huge mistake. But again, there are two way bigger mistakes. In fact, there are even people out there, and like, you guys can't see me right now. I'm like raising my hand right now and hanging my head at the same time, because I was one of these people that used to preach this message that you should never, ever, 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 and maybe like if I had the time, I would add like another 25,000 never, ever, evers into this little phrase. There's a lot of people who feel that you should never sell on a social network, which I just think is complete bullshit. I mean, you're a salesperson. You should never be ashamed of selling. I just think it's a time and place and timing type of thing. But even still, there are bigger mistakes, two absolutely huge ones. So let me just like stop with all the dramatics here and just get down to it and tell you what I really believe are the two biggest mistakes, and they go in order. I really feel that the biggest mistake, whether in traditional networking or in social networking, would be in, you know, going to like a networking event, collecting cards and doing nothing with them. No follow-up, no communication plan. And of course, on LinkedIn, it would be connecting, quote unquote, connecting, because you're really connecting, but like, you know, like accepting an invite and then nothing. Again, no follow-up. And these things go nowhere. So I have a question for you. I'm actually going to have two questions for you, and I promise you, the first question I ask you is going to be way easier than the next set of questions. So really, actually, two questions to start with, and they're two safe questions. Ready? Not that I can hear you. I'm saying ready like I could hear you, and like I want to make sure you're ready before I continue, but I have no way of knowing if you're ready or not. Let's just get that out there. But anyway, how many people that you've connected with on LinkedIn kept in touch with you after that connection, like after you guys accepted each other's invites? How many people on LinkedIn sent you an invite and then kept in touch with you? And we're not counting like sales pitches as keeping in touch with you. I mean, genuinely tried to keep in touch with you in some way, shape, or form. And also, How many people in your traditional networks, like you go to networking events, maybe you go to an industry type event and you did like some networking there. Maybe you went to a trade show and you did some networking. But how many people from all of those things that I just mentioned ever kept in touch with you, made an effort to keep in touch with you, not give you a sales pitch, by the way. I mean, kept in touch with you. You ready for the more difficult question? Again, I can't hear you, so if you said yeah, just recognize that you just like basically talk to your computer screen or you're in your car like talking to yourself. And if you're out where I live in New York, it's pretty typical, so you'll blend right in. But here's the more difficult set of questions. What have you done to keep in touch? What have you done? See, because it's really easy to have conversations about what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with the people on LinkedIn and what's wrong with those people that we met with at the trade show that seem so interested and what's wrong with all those people, right, on the LinkedIn network that sent us an invite and then nothing, man, crickets chirping. But how about you? What have you done to stay in touch with your network? You ready for the second huge mistake? That was the first one, and it's kind of joined at the hip with the second one. And this is where it might really hit home for some of you guys. The biggest mistake, like the second biggest mistake, you learned the first one, doing nothing with your network. The second one is the average person waits until they are in need. Then they reach out to their network. They wait until, and I'm sorry if this is kind of a sad example, but it's the truth. They wait till they're unemployed. They wait until they're under the gun to make sales. Or the thing that I see a lot of, especially on LinkedIn, is they wait until they need your help getting introduced to someone, like a mutual contact, right? Like a warm intro. Now, you know, it's funny, right? And I'm just going to kind of just step away from this a minute and just give you some examples. I'm here to tell you that there are a lot of people who do this. And what makes matters worse, especially on a platform like LinkedIn, is that you have a lot of people who just absolutely suck at responding to people. And there's a lot of us who feel this way, just so you know. I've read a lot more people are starting to come forward saying, hey, is it me? Or like, would it be nice if people responded to you? And there's really no way to like put a message out there like that without sounding like you got your little feelings hurt. And it's really not about that. Like, for example, I had somebody hit me up for a favor. It was just last week, as a matter of fact. And before I answered them, right, I just wanted to get an idea like who the hell this person was. I didn't know who they were. And it's kind of messed up if I don't know who you are, because everyone that I'm connected with, in fact, if you're connected with me and you're listening to this, you know what I'm about to say is true. I mean, I really go out of my way to continue to send people resources and, you know, just kind of try to connect with them. I'm constantly sharing other people's things and everything else. And I didn't know who this person was. And I just figured, well, let me just scroll through our interactions. We had none. Now, you ready for this to get worse? And I'm really taking a turn, as they say in like Wedding Crashers, to negative town right now. But I really want to make the point. So I'm not going to just give you warm and fuzzy shit and make everybody feel good. I just want to tell you some real shitty things that like you might be guilty of when you hear this. And I like scroll through all these messages that I sent this person, whether it be, and nothing spammy, whether it be sending them a resource, asking them a question, and I've got nothing. I got crickets, man. I've got just complete silence, man. Like, nothing. And then all of a sudden, this person chooses to, like, interact with me the moment they need a favor. So what did I do? I helped them. I granted the favor. And I don't think I'm so high and mighty and perfect. Believe me, I have my faults. I've got plenty of them. But I'm telling you, this person, I'm sure they reached out to, you know, more than just me in their network. I can't imagine that they got as good of a response as if they had been responding to people and interacting and building connections all along. It's the same thing with your traditional networks, by the way. People tend to neglect them until they need something. You know, they just, like, they're fed up with where they're working. They want to see maybe if somebody's hiring, or they could introduce them to someone, or this person in your network, you know, that is really active with this particular company that or organization that you want to be a part of or whatever, and now all of a sudden you're going to be besties. It's, you know, there's another side to this, folks. It's shallow. I mean, seriously, it's shallow. And you can't expect people to want to help you. And to help, I mean, I still think there's decent people out there. I don't think we should be going around through life keeping a scorecard. Well, wait a minute, you know, I've sent you 14 messages and you've never sent me any, and now you're hitting me up for a favor. I don't really think that's a healthy way to have a relationship. But I have to believe that if you're putting in, right, you're building the equity in your relationships all along, then people are going to want to help you at a higher level. And again, I'm sure this person had some responses, but I'm just not sure that they got the level that they would have had they been responding and interacting. And, you know, a lot of people say bring value to your network, and I really don't know what the hell that means, because people make cute comments like that, and they never tell me. What is that? I mean, like, when I think of bringing value to, especially a networking relationship, I'm thinking about things that are really non-spammy, that I'm sending a resource, sending an idea, I'm playing matchmaker and introducing them to people. I'm responding to them when they need something, when they're in need, when they have a question. If I can't get an answer, then getting them in front of someone, finding ways to make them look like a rock star to their network as well as mine by maybe mentioning them and introducing them. Hey, everybody, I want you to meet Jamie. You know, Jamie, pardon me, is an incredible printer. Great guy. And, you know, here's his profile. You know, that kind of stuff. So you really have to put in before you put out, before you plan on withdrawing from the account. But, you know, that was kind of a negative example. I really owe you a positive example, so I want to give that to you very quickly. When I first started with social networking, by the way, it was 2008. And I really made a lot of mistakes for about the first year. Made a lot of mistakes, and I guess I was kind of jaded by the whole thing. I thought you kind of show up on there, and then everybody sees who you are, they see how awesome you are, and they start, like, you know, the world beats a path to your door, right? And I think a lot of us kind of, like, are kind of misled into thinking that. Anyway, what happened was, what I decided to do was really put in a lot of work with my network. And I don't mean, like, to the point where it was taking away from my day job or just becoming like this 24/7 thing. I mean investing in my relationships, where I was going out of my way to reach out to them. And like we talked about, giving that value to my network and playing matchmaker, facilitating introductions and sending along referrals, sending along useful, no strings attached resources regularly so that they knew who I was. And then even more importantly than that, with my online network, one of the things I decided to do was make sure that I got on the phone with them each and every week and had a conversation, because it's so easy to have a name become this static, useless name that's on your computer screen. And really, it is useless until you start to do something with it, right? So what I decided to do was have a few phone conversations each and every week, speak to them, get to know them. So when I was networking back 2008, 2010 especially, I was networking not because I had any idea. There was no intention of starting casting training systems at that point of my life. When I was networking back then, it was mostly to have a plan B. It was networking for someday. In the back of my head back then, I kind of thought, you know, I think I want to write a book, right? That was one of that's where I was at in 2008, 2010. So I really wanted to build an army of people so that if I ever wrote the book, I had them. But even if I didn't write the book, if something changed in my life, I had a network that I could rely on and I could then, you know, embrace the network. And lo and behold, there was a change in my life. And it was 2011. I always talk about this, and got a left hook. And I had a left hook thrown at, you know, my wife and I. And what had happened, for those of you who don't know the story, is that she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And the good news is that, you know, she's been cancer-free since, oh, geez, probably May of 2011. But this was like the end of 2010, beginning of 2011. And we got through it, and, you know, we got good news early as far as how treatable it was. We caught it when it was at, like, the lowest possible stage. They call it a stage zero. And, you know, instead of chemotherapy, it was radiation. Instead of major surgery, it was a lumpectomy. And we moved on. But see, something happened to me during that time. And, you know, what happened was I just was falling out of love with the company I was working for and what I was doing. And I started having these feelings, right? And this is kind of like the warm and fuzzy portion of the podcast. And I think it's important that when you have these feelings, you don't brush them under the carpet. And, you know, you don't sit there and dwell on them 24/7. But being in sales and being a go-getter and a type A, you tend to, all right, well, I'll just, you know, turn that frown upside down and move forward. I think sometimes it's good to get things out of your system. And I think it's especially good to carve aside some quiet thinking time so you can start thinking about feelings that you're experiencing on a regular basis. So you could just understand if it's just kind of a thing or maybe triggered by something else. But at least you can kind of do a little self-analysis. And when I really thought about my life, I realized that, okay, at this point in time, I'm guessing I was probably around 45, maybe 44 or whatever it is. And I realized, you know, I really want another go at being a business owner. My first go round at being a business owner just ended just with disaster, and ended up by going in debt, lost two cars. It took me the better part of a decade to pay everything off, rebuild my life, and move forward. But I realized that I really wanted to take another stab at it. So what does this have to do with networking? Well, here I was at a point in my life where I was in a sales role, but not a sales role. I was supporting 850 sales reps as a vice president of development. And what that meant in the billion-dollar company that I was working for was that I was the guy who created all the training programs, coaching, and all for 850 sales reps. And so it wasn't like I had a pipeline. And to make matters worse, when I parted ways with the company I was working for, we both agreed that, you know, I couldn't really go after the printing industry where I had a lot of experience. I had to wait a year, kind of like that old non-compete thing. So here I was, and I'm thinking, well, what the heck do I do? I mean, I know I don't really want to work for these people anymore. Nice people, nice company. I just don't want to do it anymore. I want to do my own gig. But what do I have in terms of assets? And immediately the light bulb went off. I have my network. So the story I always tell, and it's my story, and I'm sticking to it, and happens to be 100% accurate. What I did was a real simple thing. I went to my network, all these people that I had been building the equity with at that point for almost 3 years, and I sent them an email over on LinkedIn. They call it an in-mail. I sent everybody in my network this in-mail, and it basically said something along the lines of, hey, everyone, you know I usually like to send you things. I'm sorry if this is selfish, but today I need to ask for something. And I basically told them, I'm starting my own business. Here are the areas that I'm going to be working with companies like yours. It's going to be, you know, coaching. It's going to be on-site training, online training, consulting, speaking. And I just kind of gave them just a quick outline of the things that I'm going to be doing, links to the new website, and that was that. Now, because I put the time in with my network, something really cool happened. Inside of 30 days of sending that out, I brought in 45, my first 45 accounts. So within 30 days, I brought in 45 accounts. I want you to think about that. Now, I'm not calling like a little $200 type of thing or somebody buying a webinar or something like that an account. I'm talking about 30 people were coaching clients. And those of you who know me, I charge a nice amount for my coaching. And 15 were corporate clients, including one of them that was an immediate six-figure account. Shortly thereafter, landed a Fortune 500 right from the work that I had been doing with my network. So what's the point of that? Why am I telling you that story and how life kind of threw me a left hook? Well, it's for me to tell you and to illustrate a very, very simple point. You may think you know what the future holds for you, and you may think that you're on a plan that includes, you know, A, B, and C, but at any given time, your circumstances could change. And at that point, you're going to have to look at your assets. And one of your assets should always be your network. Why? Because it goes with you wherever you go. If you've been working it properly, the network that I built in the printing industry goes with me to, you know, the software industry, or goes with me to, you know, the sales training industry, or whatever it is. Seriously, it should. And you might be thinking, well, how could somebody in printing go with you to software, or whatever it is? Because you ever hear that thing, I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy, right? Any fans of Better Call Saul? He likes to say that, right? Well, it's the same thing with your network. It's not necessarily what they can do for you, right? Sometimes it's the person that they know who knows somebody else. And it's kind of like, you know, one person's telling one person on your behalf, that person tells another few people or whatever, and you're getting the word out. And quite frankly, I think the price is right. Because the only thing that it costs me in terms of, and I'm not just talking about LinkedIn here, I'm talking about networking as well. The only thing that it really costs me is really the sweat equity that I put into it. Seriously. That's really all it's really costing me. Because you might be thinking, well, if you go to traditional things, Paul, it's costing you, you know, you got to join the, you know, the networking organization, right? Or the Chamber of Commerce and spend hundreds of dollars. No, actually, you don't. I mean, you could just go to an event and pay for the damn event, right? I mean, seriously. I mean, you can network where your feet are, and that costs you nothing. So we're really talking about just the price of a little bit of sweat equity. So here's the thing, folks. There's a lot of people out there right now who, especially with LinkedIn, I notice this, they're telling you all these things you should be doing. And like, I mean, like one of the other things I didn't mention, there is just no shortage of articles out there, like on your LinkedIn profile, what you should be doing. And when I talk to people about why they're not using LinkedIn, it's because some of them, they're under the impression that they got to do all these things with their profile. They're, you know, they can't afford to have somebody write their profile for them. And they think that's what it is. There is something way bigger than the profile thing. There's something way bigger than, God forbid, you should be a salesperson and sell on LinkedIn or try to sell somebody in your traditional network. I think there's something way bigger than going to a networking event and going into a sales pitch there. I think there's something way bigger than shaking somebody's hand and not shutting the hell up and just going on and on and on about how great you are and stuff. I actually think there's a bigger mistake than being an asshole, by the way. I really do, right? Although that one, man, was setting the bar on that one. And the mistake is this. You know, those things, at least, there's lots of people writing about those things and talking about them. So your awareness is there to a certain extent. But I'm here to tell you, if you go to networking events and you shake all those hands and you're sacrificing part of your night, and I know it's a really big sacrifice now to go and, you know, hit the bar at the networking event and do a couple of, you know, Jack Daniels or whatever it is, that's asking a lot of a sales rep. I understand that. But seriously, if you're going to go through all the effort and collect all those cards and you're going to go on LinkedIn and you're going to send invitations, and you're going to accept invitations, and you're going to spend every day looking for something that I don't even think you know what you're looking for there, then to do nothing with those networks, to me, is the absolute biggest mistake. And then that mistake, I think, transitions, unfortunately, into that mistake. If you're doing nothing with your network, and then all of a sudden you have that left hook, or you have that wake-up call where you're like, holy shit, I got to, like, you know, like, we just came off of year-end. You're like, man, I got to make something happen. Or God forbid your job's on the line. Or God forbid you lost your job. And now all of a sudden you're going to be buddies with these people that you blew off the whole year. I think that's your second biggest mistake. So here's the bottom line, folks. You absolutely need a plan. This is what it comes down to. I went on and on and on with my little stories today and telling you the good and the bad and the ugly. But what's it all mean, right? It means you have to have a plan. You need to have a communication plan in place from the moment you shake hands with somebody at a networking event. From the moment you virtually shake hands with somebody, from that moment you say hello and you guys decide to connect on LinkedIn, what happens next? So again, you need a plan from the word hello. But here's my question to you. Please don't answer it out loud, because again, you know, people are going to look at you like, why is he talking to his computer, right? Or why is she talking to herself in the car? She's not from New York. She's not, you know, like, you know, she's not Uncle Paul here. He talks to himself. But, you know, my question to you is this. What's your plan going to be? Because you need one, and you need to acknowledge it. So that's kind of the sermon for today. And I'm going to give you a sales pitch because, you know, it's, I know, God forbid, a salesperson gives another salesperson a sales pitch. I want to let you know, I'm actually going to be sharing my plan because I have one. I'm going to be sharing my plan during our How to Rock Your Online and Offline webinar, and it's going to be on Thursday, January 25th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Before I tell you what we're going to be doing and some really cool things I'm going to be including with this one, because it's going to be a little different than some of the other ones that I've done, if you heard me say the day and the time, right, January 25th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, you're like, oh man, I can't make it that day. Or yeah, 11:30 is just bad. I got a thing. Get my back waxed that day. Whatever your deal is, or excuse, or whatever else. I want to tell you, just as a reminder, every one of my webinars, I've done it this way from day one when I first started doing webinars through Castling Training Systems. I always push this little button called the record button. So this way, if you can't make it live, then you can get the webinar replay. But even if you do make it live, how cool would it be if you can kind of go back for seconds, right? And you're like, yeah, I kind of missed something Castain was saying with that New York accent the guy has, man. I want to go back and hear what the hell he was saying. Or like, you want to see, like, if I say coffee and chocolate and stuff like that for like people from New York, you can go back and you can listen to it again. But let me tell you what we're going to be talking about. First of all, we're going to talk about how you can develop a really, really thorough plan from hello. And before we go on, I think we all have to like acknowledge something. Nobody has a plan, basically. Very few people have a plan. And I think we illustrated that earlier when we said, how many people have you connected with that kept in touch with you on a regular basis without calling to check in or calling to sell you something or emailing you the same thing that like everybody like emails everybody, right? Typical types of stuff. We're going to talk about how to strike up a conversation, even if you guys are like introverts, like I am, because I am a huge introvert. So I'm going to show you the little like system that I use to strike up a conversation with everyone. And by the way, it works anywhere. It's not just like for a formal networking event. I've done this when I've spoken with people from my LinkedIn network. I've done this when I've gone to weddings. I've done this at industry events and everything. So it's a great way of remembering some things that are good icebreakers that are not corny. And you could really show a genuine interest in the person you're talking with. Also, we're going to talk about 11 networking mistakes and how to avoid them. Like, I could go on about mistakes, but it would really be useful to you if somebody shows you how to avoid doing those mistakes. We're going to talk about, and this one to me is huge, and I'm almost sensing another podcast just on this subject, but how to stay out of the friend zone. And where you could, you know, like when it comes to your network, how we can transition that network instead of like being in the friend zone and like just like being buddies with people that are never going to buy from you. How do we transition those relationships from connection or contact or whatever you want to call them to a paid client? How do we do that without being sleazy or without the conversation getting weird? Because I would venture to say that's why a lot of people don't network at the level they should. They just don't know how to take it from the handshake to a conversation about, hey, you know, maybe we can work together, maybe we can't, but, you know, let's explore it. How do you have that conversation? But also, too, now here's something that's really cool. I have 10 email templates that will help you stay in touch, and I designed them so that they would apply to both traditional and online networking. So if you'd like to get more information about this, right? I have never done a webinar like this before. And, you know, we'll see where the interest level is, but I can tell you I will not be doing this one again in 2018. And there's a very simple reason, not because I want to just like add some marketing appeal to this and just like get real dramatic so that like you act now or you lose out. The reason why I'm doing it is because I've actually pre-planned all 24 of the webinars that we're going to be doing in 2018. And just for me to keep doing new things, unfortunately, I can't just like keep doing the old ones anymore. So this one will be the only time I do it this year. If you'd like to learn more and like reserve your spot and get the templates and have an opportunity for us to work together, visit yoursalesplaybook.com/network. yoursalesplaybook.com/network. And on that note, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.